You probably heard the story, a feel-good story of Jamal Hinton and Wanda Dench. They first met in 2016 when she sent a text message inviting him to Thanksgiving dinner, but it accidentally went to this individual, Jamal. She was sending it to her grandson, who was 24 years old at the time, but he had changed his phone number. She didn't know that, so the text message went to this stranger. There was some initial confusion about who was saying what, and then they sent some selfies back and forth and realized, obviously, this was a big mix-up. Well, Jamal did something interesting at that point. He sent her a text and said, "Hey, can I still come over and get a plate?" And she said, "Well, of course you can. That's what grandmas do." So he went to her house and enjoyed Thanksgiving dinner with her family. After that Thanksgiving, the first one, someone asked him what he thought, and he said, "I'm thankful for all the nice people in the world. I'd never met her before, and yet she welcomed me into her home." And believe it or not, this past November, they had their sixth Thanksgiving together. Since that first Thanksgiving, Wanda's husband died, and Jamal has been bringing his girlfriend. But what a wonderful picture of God's heart, of benevolence, of welcoming the stranger. That's what hospitality really is. And we've been talking for some months about that vision where each of us in our own location would do that, that we would welcome the strangers around us. And I can imagine if God truly enables us to do that, many of us will also have strangers at our tables. But you know what? That's really the way God is. That's a picture of who God is and what we've been celebrating today, because all of us were at one point strangers, alienated from God, and yet he welcomed us into his family, around his table. And this morning, we're going to look at one of the stories, a parable that Jesus told of a great banquet that describes that very thing. It's found in Luke chapter 14. I urge you to turn there now. We're going to walk through that parable today. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of background as we prepare to examine the parable. Jesus was making his way through the various towns and villages on his way to Jerusalem. And one day he ended up in the home of a very prominent Pharisee at a dinner. And as they were sitting around together, this dinner, Jesus observed that many of the guests who came in to this prominent man's home, they were jostling and jockeying for position. They wanted the best seats, the most prominent places. Jesus embarrassed them and called them out. He told them a story of a wedding feast where a man came to that wedding feast and did the same thing. He jockeyed and got the most distinguished place, but then a few moments later, a distinguished guest came in and the host asked him to move. Jesus told them that story. And then he turned to the host and he called him out as well. He essentially said, "You know, when you have these kind of feasts in your home, you shouldn't just invite your rich neighbors, the distinguished people that you know. You need to be inviting marginalized people, the poor people, lame people, those that are never going to invite you back over. They're not going to reciprocate. Those are the kind of people you should call and invite to your dinners." So again, imagine you're in that setting and a stranger is there present and he does that. That's kind of an awkward moment. And perhaps it was to kind of ease the tension. The Bible says that one of those at the table said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." You can almost imagine him saying that and saying, "And yeah, could you pass the mashed potatoes?" It was like the silence. He's trying to break this awkward situation. And in response to that, it seems, Jesus then tells what we would call the parable of the great banquet. And that's what we want to look at today. And my prayer as we look at this today is that God will use this passage to reawaken you by his Holy Spirit to the true character of God and his mission in the world today. So we're going to look at this, this parable, and there are three groups, different groups of people or individuals, four really when you count the servants. First of all, we're going to meet the man who hosted the banquet representing God. Then we're going to meet the group of people that were invited, I think representing many of the religious people, the distinguished people. Then we meet kind of the riffraff and this other crowd that are invited later and eventually attend the banquet. But what we learn at the very beginning is that God is up to something very, very big. God is doing something big. So here's what we learn. God is throwing a great big party. God is throwing a party. Look at verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." As Jesus depicts this certain man, he's revealing to us many things about God and his character. He's telling us God is like this. He's preparing this lavish banquet, and he's inviting a lot of people. That's what God is like. I would ask you to just take a moment and consider that image of God. Is that consistent with your mental picture of God? So many people, I believe, have a view of God that's quite different than that. Many view God as a stern taskmaster, not a party planner. He's more of a cosmic killjoy. He's not a partier. And yet that's how Jesus describes him here in this parable. And not just here, in other places as well. In the very next chapter, the text that John referred to at the beginning, the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, you remember the story. He wanted his dad to die. He essentially said, "Dad, just die so I can have my inheritance." He took the money and he ran off and began partying, partied hard until the money was gone. And decided he'd be better off to go home. But he was so ashamed of all he'd done, he felt he would not be received back into the home. Thank you. He wouldn't be received back into the home, so what did he do? He said, "I'll just become one of my dad's servants." Now, I want you to think about what the father did when he saw his son approaching. Did he go back into the house and tell people, "I don't want to see him"? Did he cross his arms and prepare to lecture him? No. It says he ran after him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. But that's not all. He threw a huge party. The Bible says, "The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on, and put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate.'" That, my friends, is the biblical picture of God. That's what he's like. From beginning to end, we see this image of God. You remember David and his famous shepherd song, Psalm 23. Remember what he said? "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And Jesus here in this parable of the banquet is describing God in the same way. There's a wonderful image in Isaiah 25 that also depicts this. It's an image of a mountain, the mountain of the Lord. Listen to what this prophecy says. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet with aged wine, the best meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. That's what's coming. He's saying God is preparing a big party. It's going to be a fine feast, a wonderful banquet. And then finally, one other example. What was Jesus' very first miracle? Do you remember what it was? Where was he at the time? I mean, not the city, but what event was he at? A wedding. And so what did he do? He turned the water into wine. He didn't want the party to end prematurely. This is the image that Jesus is presenting to us of God and what he's like. He's preparing a lavish party, not just sufficient food to satisfy our hunger, something that goes way beyond that, a banquet that enriches not just our body, but our souls. Now, this party, this banquet hasn't occurred yet. It's being prepared. The invitations are going out. But we who know him and have been invited to this party, we are looking forward to it with great joy. And even though now we're only getting little foretastes of that, it gives us hope and encouragement and joy to long for what's coming. Amen? That is what he's like. So, this is one of those parties, right, that you don't want to miss. It's one of those events. Hey, you want to be known that you went to it, right? This is one of those events. Who would want to miss this? Certainly everybody would want to go, right? Not really. And that brings us to the second group of people. If you look at verse 17. Now, I've been to a number of parties in my life, and so have you. You probably hosted a few parties. In fact, I encourage you right now just to remember, what was the last party you attended? Who was there? Generally, the parties that we're part of and the way parties are thrown, they're rather homogenous. Everyone present has something, generally, something in common. You're part of the same family, the same neighborhood, the same office, the same team, the same school. There's something in common. You don't see many 16-year-old boys wanting to attend an 8-year-old girl's birthday party. When young mothers throw parties, other young mothers come. When an online gamer throws a party, other online gamers attend the party. So who's natural, do you think, is going to attend a party that God is throwing? Well, naturally, it's going to be all the religious people, all the upright people, the churchgoers, the pastors, the priests. Those are the people that are going to attend, right? Maybe not. You have to understand that at this time, in this culture, if you were going to hold a banquet like this, you would send out invitations, as this man did. Then they would have RSVPs. You would find out who is coming. Then you would begin to make preparations. And when the time arrived, when everything was ready, then you would send out someone again to say, okay, it's time, let's get this party started. Come, join me. And that's what we see. In verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. They'd been invited. They said they were coming. Now he's saying, okay, it's all ready. The grill's hot. The cooler's full. Everything's ready. My chef's carving the meat. Come on, join me. Let's get going. And then he waits. He opens the blinds a little, looks out. There's nobody coming. He listens for the doorbell and waits. And waits and waits. But nobody comes. Because they all made lame excuses. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another man said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them. Oh, excuse me, I'm not going to make it. Still another said, I just got married, and I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. I mean, what a slap in the face. They've been invited. They agreed to come. Everything's prepared, ready for them, and then they just make these totally lame excuses. It'd be like you inviting someone, and they agreed to come, and then it's a half hour past the starting time, and you're wondering, is he going to come or not? So you text them, are you going to come? We're waiting for you. And they text back and say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I've got to rearrange my sock drawer. I'm not going to make it. That's essentially what they're doing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reviewing my homework from last year, so I can't come to the party. I think Jesus is deliberately portraying very, very ridiculous excuses. And what it's doing is it's helping us realize what a ridiculous thing it is to allow any excuse to prevent you from accepting the invitation and attending this great feast that God is preparing. How ridiculous to allow a plot of ground, some power, some oxen, some new Tesla, whatever it is, to allow anything to keep you from entering into what God has for you. That's what Jesus is saying. So even though he's planning this party, not everyone you'd expect to be there will actually be there because people make excuses. The bottom line is, God is inviting you to this banquet. So don't allow excuses to keep you from attending. Well, there's one more group that we want to look at in this parable, and from them we learn about God's benevolence, his benevolence. Here's the third takeaway, the third point. Because of God's benevolence, unexpected guests will attend. The people we thought would attend won't be there, but the people we didn't think would be there will be there. Again, verse 22, then the owner of the house became angry when he found out all these excuses came and nobody was coming. He ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done. And here's a key phrase, you might underline this, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. And here's another key phrase, so that my house will be full. So after he's snubbed by the people he thought would come, he just flings the door open and sends a servant out and says, just tell all these other people to come. All the marginalized people. The people who don't ordinarily get invited. The lame, the poor, the blind. Go out to those in the streets and the alleys, the homeless people, the people different from me. Go get them. I want every place at my table filled. I don't want any empty seats. Oh, there's still room. Keep going after them because I want them all here. And what he's telling us is that there's no one who is too down on his luck, too deplorable, too despised by others to be welcomed to the table of God. There's no one. No one. He warmly embraces the outcasts, the poor, because he wants them to come and enjoy and rejoice with him at his bounty and his love, to rejoice in him and who he is and all that he offers. So imagine now, again, this is all taking place as they're sitting around this banquet in this prominent Pharisee's house. And I imagine it's getting a little bit quiet and they're just chewing. Maybe they've stopped. And they're starting to get the point. And then, if he couldn't have made it more clear, Jesus concluded the parable with this statement in verse 24. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And suddenly they're choking. They're not just on the steak. So what does this say to us today? And particularly, what is this parable Jesus tells? What does it have to do with the mission of Christ? Well, as I prayed and read through this and studied it again this week, God really reminded me of a couple things. In a sense, awakened me to two things in a new way. And I want to talk about that with you just for a few moments before we close. First of all, and I pray this will happen for you as well, there was kind of a reawakening to God's character. And I've talked about this already. I just want to go back and revisit it for a few moments, to God's true character. Because you see, listen, God's mission, Christ's mission, flows out of the character of God. My friends, we are on a mission. God has called us into a mission that He is on. He's on mission and invites us to participate in it. And the devil is such a liar and deceiver, and he tries to convince us, and certainly people who've not yet accepted God's invitation, that God is different, that He is the stern person, this cosmic force that just waits for someone to step out of line so He can smash us. And if that's our vision, then our passion for His mission is going to be stifled. But that's not the way Jesus depicted God and His mission. And that's not the way Jesus described why He came. It's not. Remember what He said? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's why I came, that people would have abundant life. That's the mission that Jesus is on, that God's on. And so I'm just going to ask you today, would you pray and say, God, would you awaken me in a true and deep way today to the more clear picture of your character? Would you help me to see your character, that you love the world so much that you sent your Son, and that you're on this mission to let everybody know they're invited? Need to repent and turn and just come, and I'll welcome them just like that father of the prodigal. That's what I'm about. Would you just ask God to awaken you to that? Because when He does, and to the degree that He does, it's going to release you in greater measure to be on mission for Him when you have that awakened vision of His character. Second thing I want to talk about, awakening, is specifically what we're addressing this morning, just a reawakening to God's mission. If you go back to the parable, when the servant came back and said, you know, we've invited all the lame, the poor, and everything, we've invited them all, but there's still room. And so what did the man tell him to do? What did he say? He said, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I believe, my friends, that that is the essence of our mission, is to do everything we can in the power of God's Spirit to make His house full. That's what the mission is. It's to make His house full. You say, well, what does this have to do with me specifically? Well, where do we fit in this parable? We're the servants. We're the servants. The servant of the King, who is given the task, the responsibility to go out and invite people far and wide, from our neighborhoods to the nations of the world, with the wonderful news that the king is inviting them to his banquet. You have to ask yourself, if they haven't been informed, if they don't know that they're invited, how will they attend? They can't. That's what we're called to do, to bring that invitation to them, to tell them our story of what God has done for us and invite them to experience the same. One of the ways that we've focused on this in our church in the last year or so is to make our homes a place of hospitality, to practice radically ordinary hospitality, to bless our neighbors by beginning with prayer, listening to them and their stories, eating and sharing time with them, serving them, and then sharing our story. That's blessing them. We've been talking about that. I want to just share two other final thoughts in terms of how can we be on mission, bringing the invitation to people near us and far away around the world. Two things I want to close with. First of all, I want to make sure this is a priority. Make sure you've secured your place at the party. You see, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't run out with the invitation until you have made sure that you will be in attendance. That's the most fundamental point. My friends, I just want you to know you're on the guest list. There's an invitation with your name on it. It doesn't matter what you've done, how far away from God you might be. It doesn't matter what labels people have put on you. There's an invitation with your name on it. And just like that father of the prodigal was watching and waiting, and when he saw him on the horizon, he ran after him. He waited and waited and waited, and he ran after him. He is waiting for you. And he will run after you. You just simply need to turn to him and accept the invitation. Turn away from your own independence, doing things your way. You turn and follow him and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, this banquet is not an awards banquet. It's not like we're going to show up and like an award, sports awards, and it's like, I get the trophy for this great moral victory I had in my life. That's not it at all. No one there deserves to be there. It's all by the grace of God. So don't think you have to somehow earn it, deserve it, that somehow you're going to go there and God's going to say, oh, good job, my daughter, you did this right, so now you can come in. It's all by the grace of God. His free merit. He just opens the door and says, come in. So here's the deal. What excuse are you using not to attend? Is there an excuse that you're making? Saying, not right now. I want to have some time in my life to live it the way I want. Later, I will come to Jesus. I'm not sure I can really put my trust because I'm not 100% confident of everything I've read in the Bible. What is your excuse? And my friends, I simply say today, would you just stop making excuses and say yes to Jesus? Tim's going to come down. Tim, you want to come down to the front? And I'm just going to give you a chance, a few moments right now, to accept this invitation. You see, we're going to talk about mission in a moment and being on mission, but I don't want to take for granted that anyone here in this room or anyone online worshiping with us has not yet given your life fully to Jesus. Well, there were people in this parable that were invited and you thought they would be there, but they weren't there. And how tragic it will be on that day when there would be people who we thought would be there, they were maybe good church attenders involved, but they never said yes to Jesus in their heart. And so I just invite you right now just to maybe pause for a moment, maybe just take stock and ask yourself this question: have I ever truly at any point in my life said yes, Jesus, yes? Done with excuses. I'm just going to push past the doubts, and I'm saying yes, Jesus. I want to be there with you that day. Would you, right now, would you do that? Just say yes, Jesus. Forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me, God. I trust you, Jesus, and today I say yes, come into my life. Begin to change me now and prepare me for that day that I will be with you around your table. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to support you as you learn to follow Jesus. So I'd like you to let us know. We're going to put a phone number on the screen up here and online as well. And just urge you, if you today for the first time said, yes, Jesus, I want to say yes. I want to follow you. I'm accepting your invitation. Just text yes to that number so that we can pray for you and encourage you. Just take another moment or two. Don't miss this opportunity. The Holy Spirit is working, speaking now. There may not be a later. Today is the day of salvation. Say yes, Jesus, yes. But there is one more point, and that's this. Invitation isn't only for you and for me, it's for everyone else. It's for everyone else. And so here's my other point as far as how do we take the invitation. And this is what I'm going to say. Shift from hibernation and confrontation to invitation. Let me say that again and then explain it. Shift from hibernation and confrontation to invitation. You see, as our culture has said no, they've turned away from God's invitation and become more and more dark and more negative. And in some cases, negative toward this message, many of us have kind of gone into hibernation. We're MIA on the mission. We've been intimidated into silence. We're asleep to the people around us. And my friends, we just have to wake up and move into a culture of invitation. Some of us are on the other end of the spectrum, not hibernation. We're confrontation mode. And as the culture has gotten worse, we're on a mission and crusade to go out and tell the world how wrong they are in every way, in every place. And we're crushing people, and we're giving them the impression that that's what God is waiting to do, is just swat them instead of demonstrate the heart of God as seen in this parable as being someone who's not coercing people to attend. He's inviting them to attend. Such a huge difference. It's not that we're going to go soft on sin or somehow water down the gospel. That's not the point. It's a matter of emphasis. Emphasis. Would you rather attend a party that someone comes with a gun and says it's time to attend? If you don't, you're going to be shot. Or if someone says, hey, this is going to be wonderful, you don't want to miss it. My friend, that's what I'm talking about. Shifting from these focus, this approach that is so broken to this invitational model that Jesus shows us. So one of the first things that happens when you're planning a party, what do? You make a guest list. A guest list. And my friends, listen carefully. God puts you right where you are for a reason. Wherever you live, wherever you work, the family you're in, team you're on, all those things, God put you there. And the people in your sphere of influence, He loves them, my friends. He wants them to be invited. And He put you there to invite them. And one of the ways we do that is just simply by inviting them into our lives. Instead of being afraid and pushing them away, invite them into our lives. Let them see what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, that we're real. We fall, we trip, we sin, but God forgives. We're loving people. We're not hateful people. We're not bigoted people. Invite them into our lives, and they begin to see, and it softens their heart so that they then are ready to receive that invitation that we give them from God. My friends, I think that's what God is wanting to awaken us to. That approach, that way of thinking, that way of operating. So who's on your guest list today? We put a couple of papers up on the front here, and it just says guest list. We have some pens there. Here's what we're going to do. As we close our service, we're going to give you a few moments just to prayerfully consider, God, who is it in my life right now that you're impressing upon me that you want invited? I don't even know what that means exactly yet, you might say, but somehow you're impressing you want this person to be on my guest list, to be maybe inviting into my life in some new way, some different way, because you want them invited to your party. And then we're just going to ask you just to come up, and there's some pens there. Just write only a first name. Write it kind of small so there's room. Just write a first name on there, and then we just pray together, God, would you help us to represent you to these people that are on your guest list with the invitation. That's what He's about. And that's what He wants us to be about. So let me pray, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, and then Tim's going to lead us in a closing song, All of Jesus for All the World. That's what it's about. Father, we thank you today again for your goodness to us. We know that we didn't go after you, you came after us, that you have invited us into a relationship with you that one day will culminate in our presence with you forever around your table. God, may we now wake us up, oh God, that you have that heart for the people in our lives, and not just here where we live, but around the world. So that will not just be something we feel compelled to do externally, but it will come from within us. We'll be motivated by your love and your character that is changing us to invite people in. So move, Holy Spirit, challenge us, and continue this wonderful work that you're doing, inviting us onto your mission. We pray this in your matchless name, Jesus.